One. Kind of a topical message this morning on what I want for our church in 2023, what I want for our church this new year. And so Philippians chapter 1, we'll get back to 1 John next week. 1 John chapter 3 we're in, but Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. First him that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So Paul's writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is Paul's prayer for the church of Philippi. And he, verse 9 says, this I pray. So I want us to adopt that for 2023 for our church family in 2023. And so Paul says, this I pray. See, Paul understood what we sometimes understand and sometimes we don't. Paul understood that there's not only we have a privilege to pray, but there's power when we pray. And so he understood that it wasn't just a catchphrase, it wasn't just something that sounded spiritual that we're going to pray. No, he understood that it's a wonderful privilege when you pray as a Christian, when I pray as a Christian, we have an audience with the Creator God. He hears your prayer. He hears my prayer. And there's power there. Now, we have to have clean lives. We can't just live wicked lives and just try to reach out to Him. And so it's like a parental relationship. You got kids, it's easier for them to get what they want when they're in fellowship with their mom and dad. And so we understand that. But what power, what privilege we have to pray for one another. And so Paul is writing to this church at Philippi, and he says, this I pray. Now, when Paul prayed, he didn't pray in generalities. He didn't just give a bunch of vain repetitions. As Reuben has said many times, you ready, Reuben? I'm going to quote Reuben. As Reuben has said many times, when you pray, it's not time. When you get called on to pray, it's not time to catch up on all your prayer life for the year. Amen? And so Paul's teaching here, it's not, he don't pray in generalities. He don't pray in vain repetitions and repeat this and that. No. He prayed specifically. When you pray, when I pray, you can pray specific prayers. And that's exactly what Paul does here in Philippians chapter 1. But he also prayed supernaturally. And we need to do that thing, the same thing too. Paul is chained, according to the Bible scholars, Paul, when he writes this letter, he's chained to a guard. In some instances, he was chained to four guards. He's in a Mamertine prison when he's writing this letter to the Church of Philippi, but he understands, I might be in prison, I might be chained to a guard, I might be bound in here in this cell, this prison cell, but my prayers aren't bound. And that's what we need to learn as we go into 2023, that there's a supernatural power to prayer. And that's what we have the privilege of doing, you and I as Christians. And thirdly, Paul prayed with sensitivity. He focused his prayers on the areas that the church needed most. And so, as we can learn from Paul. Now, every sermon that Paul preached, and he preached a lot of them, they were bathed in the power of prayer. Every letter that Paul was privileged to write, it was simply born out of a heart of prayer. He was a man of prayer. Every church that Paul planted, he was simply an answer to Paul's prayer. His heart was missions. His heart was planting churches. His heart was presenting the gospel to the unreached, to the lost. And so we understand that about the Apostle Paul. Paul had a great testimony. His testimony was a 360 turnaround for him. He was anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Christian.
And then he met Christ personally on the road to Damascus, and his testimony changed. He had a new testimony when he accepted Christ. And then he understood and learned about that relationship, and he grew in it, matured in it, and he began to learn how to pray and became a great man of prayer, but also a great man of position because of his prayer. So happy New Year. Happy 2023 as we begin this year together in church, assembled together. And here's what I want for our church this New Year's. It's right here in Philippians chapter 1. Number one, compassion that flows. Compassion that flows. Look at verse 9. In our church, I want us to have a compassion that flows. And this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more. The word abound here means, it simply means to flow. We want a compassion of love from Spratton Baptist Church, which is you and I, the membership here. We want a compassion of love in 2023 just to flow, to abound more and more. That's what Paul's prayer is. That's what my prayer is. That's what I'm sharing with you today, is that wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we had a church, you and I, that we had a church here that simply had so much love that it just simply overflowed. We didn't have to tell people how much we loved them. They sensed it. We didn't have to tell people how much our church loves others. They just knew it because of the demonstration, the example here. And so I want for our church in 2023 to be full of compassion, the compassion of God's love that flows. Romans 5 says this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, very simple, point-blank question, do you love others? Let me ask you this, do you have abounding love for other people? Thirdly, is your life flooded by God's love and compassion for other people? Simple questions. The story is told by a little 10-year-old boy. I got saved when I was 10. But the story is told about a 10-year-old boy in Chicago who walked a few miles to church on Sunday. He came home one day and his neighbor said to the boy, he said, son, he said, what church do you go to? Because you leave early and you get in late. He said, I go to church over in Chicago. And he said, well, you probably pass 15 other churches going to that church. So why do you go to that church? And he said, it was D.L. Moody's church. And he said, we go to Moody's church because they know how to love a fellow there. And that's it. People know. You can't camouflage it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend it. You can't say it and not do it. Folks know if they're loved. Folks know if we're genuine, full of love, a compassion of love that flows. There's no substitution for L-O-V-E. There's no substitution for love in the local church. We're the local church. I'm not talking about Spradlin building. I'm talking about the local church. That's you and I who make up the church. And what I want for us in 2023 is to have a love, a compassion of love that flows, naturally flows. And by the way, the word love is not just a Arkansas word. It's not just a Spradlin Baptist Church word. It's not a Southern Baptist word. It's universal language. Everybody understands it. Everybody gets it when it's real love that flows. Our good friends, the Huddles, Howard, Sherry Huddle, they came and shared their testimony in one of our awesome Augusts a couple years ago. Howard pastored the Southside Baptist Church on Dodson, right over by Baptist Health Hospital. And Howard and I are friends, close friends, and his wife came and gave her testimony about God healing her from cancer. Well, the Huddles, just a few months ago, they resigned. He was here 8 or 9 years in Fort Smith. He resigned his church at Southside Baptist Church and moved to Paragould, Arkansas, to a new church. Once he got there, just a few months ago, Sherry went for routine checkup. UAMS, Little Rock. And she got the news that they detected that the cancer had come back. Brand new pastor to a new church in Paragould. Brand new couple there. They just go for a routine checkup. And lo and behold, it's back. And so they want to get ahead of it. They being the experts there at the medical center, and they want to get ahead of it. And so they want to start chemo. They want to start radiation. They want to start treatments. And so, you know, you're new at the church, and all of a sudden, you know, now all of a sudden you've got to be gone, and all of a sudden you're going to be missing in action, and just those kind of things that we all understand. But I was talking to Howard this week. He said, man, he said, I'm just telling you, this church has done nothing but just love on Sherry Knight. He said, but it's not just the church. He said, the association. He said, I'm new here. He said, the association sent a check for $500 from the association to us for any expenses we might have that's not covered. He said, but that's not the end of it. He said, man, our church has just simply said, look, we'll take care of any expenses you guys, new pastor. This is like on the honeymoon. I mean, they're like, man, they're just showering him with all kinds of love. And then he said, then the association, who hardly even know him, sent him this money and said, anything else we can do, we're here. And if that's not enough, he said, the Arkansas State Convention said, look, we've got housing for you. You guys are going to be there for those treatments, and the last thing y'all need to worry about is this and that. He said, we've got housing and that we could put you guys up in. And, hey, I'm just here to tell you that someone gets cancer, it comes back, and you have to go through all the stuff you have to go through that I can only imagine. I just heard the stories. We've never experienced it to that degree in our family. But what they wanted is they want what everybody wants, is just people to love on you and let it flow freely and let it be from a heart that cares and takes care of them. And that's exactly what he's experienced. And you ought to hear his attitude so great. Her altitude is flying so high because she's got so much support, so much prayers, and so much love. Hey, all I'm saying is that everybody understands L-O-V-E, love. They understand and they get it when it's real. From a first-time visitor that comes to Spratton Baptist Church, to a stranger that we just passed by that might want to come here, to a faithful charter member of Spratton Baptist Church, all can tell after one service if the church is a church that flows with compassion of love or not. A church should never get too big to love. It should never be too small to love. You see, that's one thing we can do. We can love as much as the big churches can. We can love as much as we can love. And so one of the things I'd like for our church in 2023 is to have a compassion that flows. Paul writes, what I want for the church at Philippi is a church that loves, but loves more and more. A church that abounds in love. A love that just overflows. Is what he's saying. So in 2023, we ought to love each other. That'd be a good start. We ought to love our church. That'd really be a good start. And we ought to love the Lord. That ought to be first and foremost on our list. More than we did in 2022. And we ought to be a church that overflows, that has a compassion that flows with this thing called love. In verse 9, it says, our love may abound in knowledge and judgment. The love we have is to abound, to get more and more, to overflow in knowledge and in judgment. And so that word knowledge means that our love simply ought to start off and we ought to learn. That's what knowledge is. It's learning. And so the knowledge part of that is our love in 2023. We ought to learn to love more, to love differently, to love specifically. That's the knowledge part. Then it says, our love may abound in knowledge and judgment. So not only is that that we're to learn to love more, but
Second, we're going to learn in judgment. Our love is to grow and mature and excel. We are to be smart. Judgment means that we have to make smart, wise, educated decisions in how we love. And that's where it comes to judgment. Sometimes you have to have some tough love. We've all done that. We've got kids. Sometimes we have to have some compassion love. And so there's different kinds of love. So that's what he said, that our love has to abound. Knowledge. We can learn. And then we can make wise decisions and judgment. You see, we live in a world that's starved. Some people don't even know what love is. So we live in a world that's starved for genuine Bible-based love. No strings attached love. Unconditional love. People don't know what that is. And we got to do more than just the catchphrases. We've heard the lyrics. What the world needs is love, sweet love. I don't know about that. It's love that makes the world go round. You're nobody till somebody loves you. Now, there's some truth in all three of those statements. We've got to take the world out of them. We've got to have genuine hearts that overflow, that abound in that type of love. Paul is writing, love comes with insight, perception, practical application based on God's word. And that's what we're talking about here. Love is defined, it's directed and distributed with spiritual development as we grow as Christians. Hopefully we're going to grow in 2023. As we grow, we have a better understanding of all the ways that we can demonstrate and apply and simply comprehend more about how to love folks the right way. Love takes in life experiences plus personal desire. And so we learn as we grow. We learn as we mature. We learn as we age. Paul's desire is to be overflowing in a perpetual flood of love. And he makes no bones about it. And so the first thing I want for our church in 2023 is I want us to have a compassion that flows, love that abounds more and more. Secondly, character that glows. Not just love that flows, compassion that flows, but character that glows. And this is where we talked about the living part, the learning part. And so now we're going to look at character. Verse 10, look what it says. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. A person who is loving is a person who is learning and ends up being a person who is living. And that's what Paul is trying to get to. Let people know how to really live by forgetting yourself and thinking about others. Our goal, our New Year's resolutions could be that we live by the doctrine of Scripture, not by the dictates of society. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I pray this for my church. I pray that you have a compassion that overflows, and that I pray that you have a character that glows in 2023. That you may approve things, verse 10, that are excellent. Paul wants the best for all. We teach it all the time from the pulpit here. We always talk about God wants the best for you. We just sung that song that we're somebody and you're beautiful and we have a designer who made us, and so God just wants the best for us, but we have a choice in the matter. And so God wants the best. Paul wanted the best. His pastor wants the best. So it comes down to choices. And so character that glows. Can I just tell you, I've said it before, don't just settle. Reach for the excellent things. That's what he's saying there, verse 10. Don't just settle. No. You deserve more. Reach for those things that are excellent. As a matter of fact, don't just be okay with good things.
Nothing wrong with good things. But why settle for good things when you have better things? And why settle for better things when you have the best things? And why settle for the best things when you have excellent things? And that's what he's talking about there. Hey, God wants the excellent things for us. He wants the best for us. And you can get that by having compassion that flows, love that abounds more and more. You can have that by having a character, having character, those traits that glow. Not that we have to spout off and tell everybody, look how great I am, and I do this and this and this and this. No. Let people see that in you. Let people see that in us. Character that glows. Be careful getting bogged down in doing good at the expense of accomplishing excellent. I used to tell our salespeople that when I was in management and sales, I would say, look, hey, that's good, but I think you can do a little more. I think you can stretch. I think you can simply make one more call a day and make it count here and do that. Hey, I want the best for you. And that trickles down. When you do, you get the best for you, it trickles down to your family, it trickles down to your children, it trickles down to your houses, it takes it down to your finances. And so there's a lot of reasons for that. God wants the best. He wants excellent things. It comes with excellent choices. How many people come to the end of their lives having accumulated so much stuff? Gadgets, junk. Thinking, man, have I wasted my life on things that don't really count? When there's character that Paul says, I want this for my church. Character that glows. That you may be sincere in what you do, without offense. He talks there. In other words, that sincere means being honest and full of integrity, being genuine. And people can figure that out too. Not only can people figure out if you really love them, if it's genuine love, but they also can figure out if your character, you have a character that glows as a Christian. In the customs of Paul's writing here, AD 64, dishonest pottery makers simply would make a mistake on the pottery and there would be a crack in it. And so these dishonest pottery makers would simply find some wax and they would fill in the cracks. They'd smooth it over and they'd burn it and do all the things they got to do it, and they would just kind of cover up that blemish. They try to cover up that cosmetically. They would cover up that with wax on the outside so it couldn't be seen. And they would disguise the damage, the crack. These items, to an honest guy, were just rejects. They weren't a sellable product. You see, they were rejects. There was something wrong with them. They were irregular. They were really flawed. They really just probably need to be thrown away. But these dishonest people would just fill them up and put wax on them and try to make it look like it's okay. You see, those kind of things looked right to the naked eye. Just the natural eye couldn't maybe see the crack, couldn't maybe find the flaw, couldn't see the blemish. But it wasn't. They knew it. And they sold it. Those that were honest in Paul's day, they put the word sincere on their pottery. They put, these are sincere products, which literally meant without wax. So people knew the difference. And we're to have a character. If anybody should have a character that glows, it should be we who are called believers. We who are called Christians, we who are called followers of Christ. Paul says in verse 10, our character should be sincere, flawless, blameless, consistent. That's what our goal should be for 2023. And sprouting understanding, here's what that means. That in 2023, your character, my character, our character ought to be above board, transparent character. Everybody wants that. Everybody should want it. That ought to be the goal. And so Paul writes in verse 10, Have a life that's sincere. Notice what he says, without offense. Without offense. Don't have things, he's saying, don't have things in your life that might cause someone to stumble. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't pretend. Don't act. Don't be an imposter. Don't be a counterfeit. Don't have things in your life that might cause others to stumble for the cause of Christ. Here's the reason why. You ready? The reason Paul is saying that is because you or I never really truly know who's observing us, who's watching us, who's looking at us. And so we can't do it. We have to have character that glows. Number one, we need compassion that flows, love that abounds more and more. We need to have character that glows, hey, sincere without offense. Thirdly, and last of all, we need a commitment that shows. Commitment that shows. Look at verse 10. It goes on to say, the last part, it says this. It says, sincere, without offense, here goes, till the day of Christ. Till the day of Christ. That verse speaks of the return of Jesus Christ. It talks about the rapture of the church. He says, hey, Paul says, here's what I want from my church. I pray. He says, man, I pray that man, we have a compassion that flows, character that glows, and commitment that shows. Commitment that shows. It's a new year. Happy New Year. 2023 starts today. We always talk about commitments as we start the new day. We're going to be committed to doing this. We're going to have a resolution to do that. And we make commitments. And so the best commitment we can make for the cause of Christ is to have a commitment that shows, not to us, but to the world. Not to us, but to the Lord. But because just as 2023 showed up like it does every year, Christ is coming back sometime. We don't know when he's coming back. He's coming back. And when he does, then we ought to simply be faithful to the commitment for the cause of Christ, a commitment that shows, a commitment to surrender to the Lord's will for our life. That's what Jesus did. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so we ought to be able to do that. We're to be pure and blameless on the day of his return. Maybe putting ourselves last, others first. Maybe turning the other cheek. Maybe going the second mile. Maybe setting our aim really, really high. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is going to return. Paul's saying, hey, here's what you need. You need a commitment that shows others that you know he's coming. You don't know when, so you have to be ready today. You have to be ready tomorrow. You have to be ready the next day. A commitment that shows. Paul says, stay faithful in 2023. Paul says, be steadfast in 2023. Paul says, be on the front lines as a soldier for Christ in 2023. Why? Because examination day is coming. Jesus is coming again. Compassion that flows, that our church would be one place where those who are searching, regardless of race, color, creed, ought to be accepted and loved. Hey, that's a compassion that flows. Character that grows. Being sincere in conduct. Being sincere in actions and behavior. With nothing in our lives that could be a hindrance to another. And thirdly, a commitment that shows. John Mark, partners with the Apostle Paul himself, on their first missionary journey, John Mark broke his commitment. He turned back. He didn't finish the commitment. He didn't finish what they had planned. He hadn't finished what they had started. John Mark turned back. He simply didn't have a commitment that shows. In Scripture, it talks about the rich young ruler. Young man came to Christ. He came to the right person. He came to the right time. He was a young man. He came the right way. He bowed down. But then when Jesus said, sell what you have and follow me, the Bible says the rich young ruler turned away sorrowful. He didn't want to pay the cost. He didn't want to make the commitment. He didn't want to follow through. And that's all Christ is asking. The rich young ruler, John Mark, Judas Iscariot, hey, these and others settle for good things when they could have achieved great things. David Livingstone, the great missionary in Africa, was asked this question. Is there any easy, accessible roads in Africa for some of our interns, missionary students to come and visit? That it'd be easy for them to travel once they get there? David Livingstone responded, if you have those who will only come if the roads are good roads, we don't want them. We only want those who will come if there's no roads. You see, we live in a day, you already know it, but we live in a day where it seems like we live in a convenience-minded society. If it's convenient, if it's easy, if it works out, can we live in that kind of community? We live in that kind of society. Can I just tell you, being a Christian is not like that? We need to be committed. We got to count the cost. I mean, Jesus is coming back. He's going to find us what we're doing that day, whatever it is. And so being a Christian involves problems sometimes, heartache sometimes, persecution sometimes, hey, paths that are not easy. But he's looking for somebody to make the commitment, count the cost, because the day of Christ is closer today than it's ever been. You see, all those who go to work Monday through Friday, they clock in, they clock out. The average person that does that simply clock in on Monday thinking like, I only got 4 days till Friday. On Tuesday, I only got 3 days till Friday. On Wednesday, hump day, I'm almost to Friday. And then on Friday, all they do is watch the clock for 4 o'clock and they can clock out and they can start the weekend. That's all that's on their mind. Hey, I'm telling you, if they can do that in the world, the secular world, then we as Christians, we ought to be watching the rapture clock. We ought to have our eyes on his clock. It's ticking. It's closer today than it's ever been. And we ought to be committed and have a commitment that shows. Keep our eyes on the rapture clock. And you have to be ready. Because when he comes, there's no second chances. When he comes, he's taking the church with him. When he comes, it's going to be total chaos here on earth. When he comes, it's going to be the day that we're going to be reunited, not with just him, but our loved ones that went before us, according to 1 Thessalonians. So God bless you. Happy New Year. I trust that we will follow the instructions here of the Apostle Paul for our church, 2023. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Compassion flows. Character that flows. And commitment that shows is my prayer for our church, 2023. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, you allowed him to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that we would not just hear with our ears today, and Lord, but we would be convicted to simply make a personal commitment to simply live that out in our lives. No one else does it, we're going to do it. No other church does it, as a church, we're going to do it. Father, help us to simply realize how close we are to your second coming, how close we are to your return, how close we are to the rapture of the local New Testament church. Father, we pray you to speak to hearts. I've done my best to speak to the human ears of men, women, and young people. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Father, that you would just speak to them. And Father, we leave this place after the last amen. We can say it's been good. We in God's house this first Sunday of 2023. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll stand. Brother Ruben's going to lead us in an invitation. If God spoke to you, you want to come today, we'd love to pray with you. Just whatever God's leading you to do, we'd be glad to.
I can hear my Savior. I can hear.
Are you ready when he comes? If he came today, would you be ready? If he split the sky open, are you going to be ready? You've heard it talked about, you've heard it preached about. If you think like, is it ever going to happen? No one knows the day or the hour. He's coming by. We have to be ready. Are you ready? It's 2023, a brand new year. Now, it's a better time to start on Sunday morning. Start with the new year. And God loves you. Jesus died for you. He put the church here so we can learn and grow together. Spiritual development, that's what we're here for. If God's speaking to you, you need to know.
You go with me.
One more verse, Brother Ruben.
Anybody?
How's your love life? People know you love Jesus. People know that you love Him. Does that love just inside of you when you're around people? How's your love life? How's your character life? You act the same way Monday through Friday as you do on Sunday. You act the same way on Monday through Friday when you're around your friends and not on the preacher or the deacons or the church. Thank you so much for your attention today. God bless you. Good to see you here on the